ignore it, kind of like how hockey lets you fly. Ignore it. Ignore it. And just ignore it. And just ignore it. Kind of like ignore it. Kind of like how hockey lets you fight. These were the big hits in football. Yeah. Do we really want to change the sport?
Yeah. Yeah, this is the question that's way over my pay grade.
It's a sport.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the question that's football. I'm not privy to all the detail, the stats, the data. We read all these things. We see a movie. We research and do all our own things and make our own pick it off, right?
Yep.
And shake it off. That's what they did, right?
True.
I remember trying to get out of the game one time in high school. Remember, I wasn't very good, but we were obviously not very good at TV ratings in the National Football League even, you know? I mean, it's just,
Brian,
it's a great thing.
Brian, I got to add, because, you know, I played college football and I was one of those DBs. Because, you know, I played college football and I was one of those DBs. So I will tell you that, you know, I still let my 12-year-old play football, and it should be everyone's choice and everyone should do their own due diligence. And there's a lot of baseline tests. Testing and things that exist today. But the one thing that gives me a headache more than the football career I had is calculus. So if you want to protect your kids, do not let them take calculus. I got an 18-year-old in Wisconsin right now. She's driving me absolutely insane. And it's costing me a fortune with a calculus tutor as well. Anyway, go ahead, Andrew.
I'm thinking, like, is it the C for calculus?
Maybe. You're a math guy. So.
Could be.
I'm going to write a movie called Calculus. I'm going to $10 billion lawsuit going for all those kids that took AP Calculus.
Yeah.
So, Brian, hey, Andrew Morris, great to chat with you. Thought this opportunity to speak with you is making me think. About every time I watch a football game, there's actually three teams on the field. I never really thought about that way until I met the blind zebra, but I do now. And so maybe talk a little bit about teamwork and then how does that relate to sales? Like, what's the teamwork aspect that you get across when you're doing sales training?
That's a fantastic question. There are three teams. Thanks for saying that. Well, and then they go, and then that's it. No one thinks about what happens. Maybe our spouses and David Meltzer. But other than that, everyone else, you know, they're like, who are these guys? And no matter what, half the people are pissed when we're done. We just make it, half the crowd is mad at us. You never, you know, leave the game like, you know, I tell you, though, the refs were really good today. Nobody says that, you know? And so because of that, we have a unique team where no one's for you, and you have to manage this team or a golf team. It's really a bunch of individuals who keep score together for a collective outcome. For me on the football field, 22 games a year, 9 years in the art part of everything. So.
Hi, Brian, fellow Hoosier. Good to see you.
Yep.
What does that mean?
One of the things I imagine being a ref that some are going to have to endure. So what would you tell people that you've learned to protect your mindset with that kind of thing?
What a great, insightful question. Of course, from a Hoosier. Let's go.
Thank you.
Number one in our hearts.
I'll be clear. I know. You know, people from California and Vegas are like, where is that? Is that like by Idaho? Where is that? It's in the middle somewhere.
In the middle.
It's a great question. One of them, detachment and the ability to let things come and go. That to me is the emotional game, which I was one of them, but I was in my suit, you know, my sport coat. And I said, well, what was it? Oh, they're terrible over in this. And the big thing's always that. Oh, it's terrible, whatever. I sat, had a beer with those guys, and went to get my flight. I'm like, been tight.
Well, when it comes time for a kickoff, there's only one guy that I want on the field, and on the stage, whether it's a sales kickoff or the Super Bowl, and that's the guy that's number one in my heart, number 92 on the field. Don't blame. You can blame me. But Brian Neal, thank you for being our great kickoff specialist. We love you on the field and off. But most importantly, thank you for joining us here on Office Hours.
Awesome. Thanks, Dave. You're the best, man.
I love you, man. Thank you.
Awesome.
Great job.
Appreciate y'all.
We'll see you soon. Sure. And you'll see you.
Perfect.
But if not, just keep going after.
Truth. All right. Hey.
I'll redo it again. Much a blind zebra.
Yeah, pretty much. I am a blind zebra. There's no pretty much about it. So, hi, David. It's very kind of you to say, especially when you come clean and tell people what I do for a living. So.
Yeah, sure. But it's an amazing thing because, like everything in my career.
Test. Nice. About that. Yeah, right. You know what's wrong with
and now
right
you're a Super Bowl States. Referee. I have so much confidence in your calls.
Now we understand.
Now you know what the problem is. All of us have that thing, you know, in us. Everybody's got their own path with that. So
awesome. Hey, Brian, first of all, I want to compliment you, you know, and look.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the question that's way over my pay grade. And I'll talk not as Brian.
Brian,
it's a great thing.
Brian, I got to add because, you know, I played college football and I was one of those DBs kids that took AP calculus.
Yeah.
So Brian, hey.
That's a fantastic question. There are three teams. Thanks for saying. Secondly, though, as an individual, this is the one that I'm crazy about. Everything I do on the football field is a process. Everything I do is a process for people to perform at their best. When the processes are in place, then you'll in the art part of everything. So.
Hi, Brian Phelps.
Yep.
Great,
insightful question. Of course, from a Hoosier. Let's go. You can't do that if you're attached to everything. if you're wound up and tight?
Well, when it comes time for kickoff.
Awesome. Thanks, Dave. You're the best, man.
I love you, man. Thank you. Awesome. Great job.
Appreciate y'all.
We'll see you soon. Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer, and I have the Super Bowl host crew. It's not the Fox 4, but it's better than that. We are here. Is Jeff good?
We good here?
There, Jeff.
Good. Go. 3, 2, 1, action. Welcome to Office Hours. I'm Dave Meltzer. Welcome to Office Hours. I'm Dave Meltzer, and I am here with the performance crew. These guys know performance, and so does our next guest, Alabama football. No, I'm just kidding. He is the conditioning performance coach. Coach for the Crimson performance coach for the Crimson Tide. He is known as the college football and professional football guru. He is known as the college football and professional football guru of performance. He's an international speaker, a best-selling author. But when you meet this guy, he's one of those people that whether you met him on an airport bench or you had a specific appointment somewhere to meet him, I guarantee he's going to change your life. He just has that way of quickly understanding what you need to do to get better, to be better, and to treat people better. Welcome to Office Hours, Ben Newman.
David Meltzer, thank you so much for having an introduction. I'm excited to be with all of you.
Oh, man, you bring it. Everybody I meet and everyone before I met Ben told me, you remind me of Ben Newman. I said, oh, poor Ben Newman. but when I met him, I saw the I saw the light in this guy. It was a love at first sight, a bromance that will never end. And Ben, you know, you bring the best out in people. You know, some of us are mentors. But you're coaching the biggest mentors, the guys who know better than anybody else. The names are ridiculous. I started with Mel Tucker, one of my faves at Michigan State, but with Nick Saban or Dabo, it doesn't matter who you're with. These people know more about football on their pinky than you and I will ever know, but you know how to bring the most out of not only the coaches, the executives, but the players of the world. What is it that you see that others just can't see to bring the best out of everybody?
Well, first off, you know, you keep putting me up on this pedestal. I still have being one of those individuals that I look up to that helps individuals that I look up to that helps me sharpen my iron. I'm reading books every day. And having coaches for me and having mentors and having the ability to see things differently to make the right decisions so that their discipline can help them win.
Awesome. How you doing, Ben? Thanks for coming on, man. It's very rare. That I get to talk about myself as a college football player. It's not something that ever comes up, and now it's coming up twice on this show, but it makes so much sense for my question to you. You know, I played for Lou Holtz in the 90s, also for Gary Barnett at Northwestern and Randy Walker at Northwestern. And I look, and you did work with Mel Tucker when he played at Wisconsin with my brother. All these people. Not mental conditioning. Yeah, you know what mental conditioning was to us? Run these 10 100-yard dashes and don't cry. That's mental conditioning. That's our mental conditioning. Who wants to go to the hospital with, you know, puking too much first? That's mental conditioning. All these people. not at least 10 100 yard dashes and don't cry. That's mental conditioning.
Okay.
That's our mental conditioning. Who wants to go to the hospital with, you know, puking too much first? You know, bigger picture, you know, the last 25 years, a lot on mental health, a lot of things are coming up. And obviously Alabama has a mental conditioning coach. These are concepts that you would never have heard of 25 years ago. What's changing in the world to get us to this point?
Well, I can share with
you in the world to get us to this point.
Well, I can share with you one of the first lessons that I learned about Coach Sabout. And he said, yeah, I figured it out. He says, do you understand that you have to coach every player differently? And Coach Saban kind of paused and says, Dr. Rosen to this day.
So, Ben, hi, Andrew Morris. It's great to talk to you. And is the extremes. So the yips and the zone, right? So the yips, right? The yips, the field goal kicker that can't make an extra point, or the second baseman that throws it over the first baseman's head.
Steve Sachs, exactly.
I was going to not drop names, but that's who I was thinking.
I'm not a Dodger fan. I'm not a Dodger fan, so I'm not afraid to say the truth.
Yeah, or Michael Jordan, who could. And throw it in from 50 feet on a certain day. And from your experience, kind of what are some of the things that go into, you know, those two different headspaces, and what can you learn from that in your, as a performance coach outside of sports?
But one of the important things that you always try to do your very best to understand that a neutral mindset is the best mindset to perform in. Same. So it's helping a player realize if you miss an assignment, line up and play the next play. Stay neutral and just attack the next, sustain it throughout a football game a diving competition or a round of golf.
And Ben, I want to, before Lacey asks you last question, just give a shout out to Trevor Moad, who went to Occidental College with me, because I was someone that thought getting super excited was positive and being bummed out was negative and didn't understand the power of neutral. So unfortunately, my friend passed away.
Can I share something?
Sure.
Yeah, I think it's important that we always honor those who made a difference in the things that we do.
Thank you, man.
It's pretty, and you're talking about neutrality, which I love.
A couple of things. I can't, in the amount of time that we have.
The neutral way.
So there's a couple of things. I can't, but there's.
Give us your best.
Anybody can just Google Navy SEAL box breathing. But
tenacity. And you're talking about neutrality, which I.
These tools in order to perform in the game.
Performance, very important on and off the field, and there's no heart set and hand set. And Ben, carrying on a legacy of many of my friends, psychologists, Ben Newman, a superstar in making superstars. Thank you so much for joining us on Office Hours.
Yeah,
man, I can't wait to see you in person. Thanks for joining us.
Can't wait. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Next up, another great guest on Office Hours. Another great guest. Office Hours. Oh, good. Oh, we got to go to the hospital?
Yeah.
Other people's misfortune is always my fortune. It's weird.
Yeah,
let's just finish up. We got a lot.
Cool. Let's do it.
Welcome.
No.
You know? Is it a nice place?
Is it like we buy?
Don't. At 3 a.m.
Thank you. We do have a guest coming. He told you? You told him?
No.
Denzel Bentley?
Then? Yeah. We didn't really know because he just fought Saturday. And he's from the UK, so we didn't know if he was going to be leaving. Most people thought he was going to get knocked out. He put up a hell of a fight.
I'll text you the spelling. You never know, so I'm definitely plugged in. All right. What's up, what's up? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another edition of the Boxing Voice Radio. I am your host, Nestor Gibbs, joined alongside Ringwalk Danny. What's going on?
What up, Chip? Good to be back in studio after a very long trip in Mexico. We're back, and it feels good, to be honest.
Honestly, we're back delivering news that we received from Mexico. WBC, the World Boxing Council, orders Errol Spence Jr. to defend his WBC titles against Keith Thurman. Now, me patting myself on the back yet again. I was just in this studio this weekend with Sean Porter, and he didn't want to get into our back and forth debate about any champion that is unified having to defend all three titles when the sanctioning body orders one. He seems to believe that Earl can, I guess, tuck the IBF and the WBA under his belt, under his pillow, and just show up with the WBC. That is not the case because there is a quote here on ESPN.com where
it says,
that
Keith Thurman,
Errol Spence, could defend his unified welterweight championships against Keith Thurman next after the WBC ordered the mandatory title fight on Wednesday at the convention. See? Which means no champ can pick and choose when to defend. If you're unified, you got to defend all three straps. And then that challenger is lucky because he gets an opportunity at three belts versus one. So that clears that up for Mr. Showtime Sean Porter. That being said, there are rumored December dates for this Keith Thurman versus Errol Spence potential fight. What do you think? There are rumors of a December date for this Errol Spence-Keith Thurman fight. Do you think we get a rushed announcement?
I
mean, obviously
not.
We got Terrence Crawford and David Avanesian fighting on December 10th.
This is a bigger fight.
Cool, but there was rumors of a December 17th pay-per-view date for PBC. That gives us how much time?
5 weeks.
Exactly. Have we seen fights of this magnitude? I guess announced?
I don't know that we have, Tim. To me, that
with 5 weeks?
That feels pretty rushed.
Really?
That does, especially at this level. Animosity of that sort. You know, I would like at least a two-city press tour for that. You know, come to the West Coast, do one on the East Coast.
Yeah.
I would like more promotion.
I don't know that you're going to get any of that for this. And I don't know that you need any of that for this, right? Like, it is Keith Thurman. He is one of the best talkers. Do you just need to do an official press conference? One city? Or do you do two official cities? It's not going to be Florida. So Keith could just forget about that. And if it's going to be anything, it'll be Dallas and New York.
How many did Canelo plan to?
That's your guy. But I'm pretty sure they went to Nashville.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely. No. I remember Canelo with a little cowboy hat and straw in his mouth. Totally.
You're totally trolling right now.
Yeah, no. If you thought Jake was the first one to show up to a press conference on a horse, Canelo did it at the Keller Plant press conference. So there's exactly 33 days. I'm lying about all that. There's exactly 33 days for the 17th.
4.5 weeks. Why even want it? Why?
So do we push it to the new year?
After, yes.
Does this ordering by the WBC, because according to Michael Coppinger on ESPN.com, can I get a screen share, fellas?
Oh, damn, that's...
Reinserting.
You see what happens. You got to be hooked up.
Oh, the power's out.
Oh, wow. That's not good. There we go. Be back at it, champ. There we go.
It's just in a very horrible place.
Rocking out.
My feet always kick it. Yeah, in T minus.
5, 4, 3.
Now.
2, 1.
So right here in Coppinger's article, it says organizations often order title fights between champions and contenders, but Spence could always elect to relinquish the belt, while Thurman could choose to pursue a different fight. The mandates aren't binding, and the sides still have to come to a deal in these instances. Now, Emmanuel Stanonius is also waiting for the WBA title shot, while Jerome Boots Ennis pushes for the IBF title opportunity. But Thurman, former unified welterweight champion, appears to be next. That being said, Richard Schaefer, we're good on that. Richard Schaefer told me that it won't happen that way, not without contacting him first and making sure that his fighter is okay with accepting whatever step-aside money is offered.
Did he give a minimum?
Amount?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Nah, I ain't that good.
No, I'm just saying, you know, Samson will tell us his minimums.
Yeah, Samson throw out minimums publicly so that he doesn't even get approached is what I believe. Like saying $7 million just to talk about Benavidez Andre was his way of avoiding the
blasphemy.
That's just his way to avoid those talks. But that being said, Earl can't fight without giving Stanonius more step aside. And I don't think he's going to do that. So keep in mind, Jerome Boots Ennis came out not too long ago and put the devil emoji and said he was locked in. What if all this time we think it's Earl Spence, which, when are they going to announce it? They don't announce it. Earl's true to his word. This far, he showed us that. I ain't taking no tune-ups. Never fought a tune-up.
Never.
He cleaning his side of the street.
Did it.
It's done.
All the belts.
I ain't fighting Thurman. I'm going to fight my mandatory in Stanonius. I'm tired of paying him step-aside money. Now, the only one left is Thurman must fight Boots now. Ooh. That's my prediction.
Really?
Yeah, it's not going to be Thurman. I think Earl is too stubborn. He's not, like, he knows he's going to look hypocritical if he fights Thurman. He's already on leaked audio, whether you think it was... you know, his team that leaked it purposely to make him look good. Regardless, he was on a conversation saying not too long ago he told Al he ain't fighting Thurman. And what's the easiest way to have Al agree with you? Al, I don't want to pay this man step-aside money to fight this man. Why would I pay him so that I could fight a dude I don't want to fight? No. Let me take care of my mandatory. Let's get him out the way, and then we're going to spin the block the bud. He's a man of his word. He ain't fighting Thurman.
Can't be mad at that.
Cannot
be mad at that.
Jerron and his fans, they're definitely going to be excited to get Thurman, who's coming off, what, 31-month layoff?
Whoa.
Last fought February.
Yes.
Versus 140-pounder moving up to 147 in Mario Barrios, regular champion. his only lone defeat to Manny Pacquiao in 2019. On paper, magnifico for my man Jerron Ennis and his resume. What does it really say? I don't know. I know Thurman's in the lab. I know he's in the lab. Who's he sparring, though? We don't know.
Boots been in the lab.
Been in the lab.
I've went to go pay him some visits. He's been in the gym. Mm-hmm. No date, no opponent. He's been sparring. So it'll be interesting, man. I did not expect for you to take that stance, especially knowing how opposed you are to a Keith Thurman and Jerron Ennis fight. That's a fight that you don't want at all.
It's that I know what's out there. And I just don't, I mean, Earl hasn't proven me, he hasn't proven to be a liar. So I got to believe him when he says he's not fighting Keith. And then again, you know, the business excuse is there. I got to fight this guy. So I stopped paying him step aside.
And he's already done it what? Well, actually, no, he hasn't done it at all. He hasn't done it yet.
Who?
Earl. Ugas was the WBA champion in the last fight. It was Ugas that had to pay the step aside in order for that unification to be done.
Maybe. I don't know. I didn't clarify that with Richard Schaefer.
I mean, why would Earl pay for a belt that he doesn't have?
No, you're right. Or in order to make the fight, he could have enticed Ugas to say yes by paying the sanctioning fees. Ugas gets a less percent. So if you got to also get a shorter end of the stick and pay the fees, probably like...
Louis DeCubas, both father and son, are phenomenal at what they do, and their fighters have been able to grow and prosper in the sport. I'm sure that your Dennis Ugas was more than took care of for the Earl fight, champ. Well, Earl didn't pay no step aside for a belt. He, you know, he isn't holding. Think about it. We already talk about how fighters don't want to stay undisputed, don't even want to stay unified because you have to pay multiple sanctioning fees. You think I'm going to do it for something I don't even have yet? I don't know.
So Keith Thurman, Earl Spence, obviously being ordered by the WBC, and Tim Bradley had his thoughts on it. And he goes on to say, of course it's a good fight, said Bradley about the WBC-ordered Spence versus Keith Thurman. And I quote, Thurman still has some relevancy in the sport, and Thurman has got power. He can box, and he still has good feet. I just think it's a bad style matchup for him. You've got a guy that's relentless like Spence. Spence's specialty is the body. That's Thurman's weakness. We've seen Thurman get hurt to the body several times. He was hurt by 140-pounder Mauro Barrios his last time out. He was hurt to the body by Barrios. What do you think Spence is going to do? He's going downstairs. He's going to test that kitchen. He's going to get some work. It's a tough style matchup, but I think that he stops Keith Thurman. I don't know which round, but I'm telling you right now, he's going to stop him. That's the pressure. It's too relentless. Yeah, that would definitely be a statement. It's timing. I think Thurman is the right time for him, and now for Spence. He's Thurman. Well, this is actually editor's brackets. He says he's looking for that big payday, but they put in Thurman, meaning Thurman's looking for that big payday and that big challenge. So he gets the challenge for three straps. It's a huge opportunity for him. He has everything to gain, and he can get paid in the process too, Bradley continued about Thurman. If he doesn't win the fight, I think he retires afterwards. I don't think there's any reason for him to continue to fight. He's right at the door, bro. He's definitely right at the door, and it's up to Spence to push him out. Yeah, it's a new crop of welterweights coming up, younger, faster. You're not as fast as you once were. Your reflexes are starting to go by the wayside a little bit. You're starting to get hit a little bit more. Those punches are starting to feel different, and you get hit on the chin. That don't feel the same. These young guys coming up, and they can fight. I'm telling you, Jerron Boots Ennis is a problem. Virgil Ortiz is a problem. I ain't even messing with Conor. Ben being on that juice. He needs to leave that juice alone. Shout out to Bradley. What the hell is wrong with you? You ain't learned yet. Come on, son. Leave that alone, bro. You don't need that. Nah, he said, you don't need that. Sit that down. You don't need to stop hanging around those people in the gym. Oh, my God. Persuading you to do some stupid stuff like that, said Bradley about Ben. End quote. We're good. So I'm reading all that to say, again, I'm happy to see that at least someone else feels like I do. Thurman has shown signs of vulnerability. It would be serving him up to Earl. It's like, wait, what? What do you do great? Oh, I'm a great body puncher. Wait, what do you do? What's the worst thing for you? Oh, getting hit to the body. Yeah, let's put you in the ring.
Right.
You know, and it's like, damn, doesn't Al owe Keith one? Come on, bro. Keith was the inaugural.
No,
ESPN,
no, 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 no,
CBS.
This is the one. This is the one. This is the one, champ. He is going to make.
Serving him up for retirement is the one. Just because there's three belts on the line.
Because he's going to be able to make money that. Who is he going to fight?
Bro, he's sending him to fight.
Who
he's
can Keith Thurman fight right now in the welterweight division that Al has that Keith will make as much money as he will in an Earl Spence matchup?
But
tell
it's
me.
A swan song. It's like go off into the sunset and die.
It is what it is.
That's not cool.
Like, you're not dead. I love you.
You might die in that
fight. No, no, no. Look, I love you. I'm going to give you this high risk but extremely high reward fight that, you know, your kids will be able to be A-okay.
Oh, yeah? I hope.
Tell me a fight he can make more money in.
There is no other fight he can make more money in, but tell me another fight he gets retired in. Guaranteed retirement.
Boots.
No, that's not guaranteed.
That's not
Boots
guaranteed.
Has never been on this level, and yet everybody's going off eye tests until he proves
who
it.
Who has Earl, like, who has he?
Earl, didn't Earl retire Lamont? Didn't he retire Khan?
But no,
not Khan.
No,
that was a.
Tam, but Lamont, bro, you thought of Yejito, bro. What's
bro,
on?
He retired him.
No.
He retired him.
No. Lamont kept fighting. Lamont kept fighting.
Oh, yeah,
Lippinets retired him.
Yeah, but he was the beginning of the end with him. Beginning of the end.
But you thought of Yejito, bro. He's old. Come on.
Don't forget that we're taking callers on Blog Talk. You know the number to call in, 1-425-569-5241, if you want to call in and voice your opinion on this topic. Do you think Earl Spence Jr. actually fights him, or do you think, I don't know, something else happens? Why is this not done right?
What's that, champ?
I don't know. It's Blog Talk. Why is it not? But, yeah, the number to call in is 1-425-569-5241.